Say good night of Shabbos. Uschus Baruch Hashem. We will learn together. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors. First of all, very special thank you to Rabbi Yaakov Bornstein, to Rabbi Saul Blumen for the beautiful, beautiful spread you see in front of us tonight. Mamish, incredible, incredible. Also, a very special thank you to Steve Golaskov, who, although again in the faraway land of New York, what? I said, Yaakov Bornstein. I said, Yaakov Bornstein, Israel Blumen. Of course. No, about if you didn't hear, I'll say again. A tremendous thank you in Shkach to Yaakov Bornstein, to Israel Blumen, to Steve Golaskov, who again, although he's in New York.
Yeah.
Nebuch, okay. But Baruch Hashem is still incredible that he coordinates this year every single week, no matter where he is. A thank you to all of our sponsors for tonight, to our annual Talmud Torah sponsor, the Tosa Mishpacha of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushals this year as a zechus for Besorah Tovos Am Yisrael. Matt and Rena Walters for Refuah Shalema and Hashem's protection for Eliyahu Baruch Ben Rivka Tamima. May we share only Besorah Tovos. Yehuda and Sarah Roll, in honor of Dr. Gershon and Miriam Fink, the most loving and gracious in-laws.
Wow.
And he's not just saying that because his father-in-law is sitting right next to him, right? And spending Shabbos with him. And, it's incredible, beautiful. I want to say, first of all, we shall all be zochem, Miratz Hashem, to have fathers-in-law like Dr. Fink, and Baruch Hashem, sons-in-law like Rabbi Yehuda. So Baruch Hashem, what a beautiful, beautiful mishpacha. And a thank you to Tzvi Friedman, in honor of all those who are oskim b'tzarchei tzibur. Beautiful. Specifically, Yaakov Bornstein and Yisrael Blumen. Yes. Wow, beautiful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Shkoyach. Incredible. All right. Well, with that, let us begin. And of course, as always, we dedicate our learning in the schos of our precious hostages. Mechadish Baruch Hu, Meretz Hashem, bring them home. B'shalom and b'karav. In the merit of our holy soldiers. Mechadish Baruch Hu, Meretz Hashem, shower them with shmir, yaseira, hashkocha, pratis. Allow them to be successful in their holy mission. And bring them home to their mishpacha, Simeretz Hashem, b'shalom and b'karav.
Amen.
Shabbos, so we are picking up tonight on page Beis. Yeah, still page Beis. Okay, but all right, Baruch Hashem, it's not about how much ground you cover, it's about...
We did finish the whole back.
It's true, right? Thank you, Zevi. Thank you. We finished the whole back. Zevi. Shabbos, so we are picking up page Beis. We are actually picking up three lines up from the bottom, pretty much Gimel. So the Rebbe says as follows. Well, so if you remember again, just to reorient, because we haven't had Shir for the last couple of weeks, but just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Rebbe in the Sefer Achshar Savreichim begins with a very simple mission. What's the goal? The goal ultimately is to become a chassid. That's the goal. And although it's so easy to say, it's one of the hardest things in life. Now, interestingly enough, we still haven't fully even defined our terms in terms of what is a chassid. But again, we're going to get into that a little bit tonight. But here the Rebbe will say, I did this piece quickly last time, so we're going to pick up with it again. And it's a really profound piece. Rebbe says, as gam niska, shekol kach tuchal nafshino lehiskabra al chushenu. So we'll say, so if you remember again, the Rebbe was highlighting this idea, and we've seen this theme. Now, Baruch Hashem, we are all here. All of us here are chassidim of the Piagetzna. So we've learned from our Rebbe, by now, how many years will we be having this chabura?
More than 10 years?
Erev, when did we start with the... With the Piagetzna? Yeah, more than 10 years? Wow. Okay, right, first is Rabbi Nachman, right? It was Chassidus Chabur, right? Okay, a long time, Baruch Hashem. But we've been learning the Piagetzna long enough to know that there are certain core issues and part of a certain core principles. And one of the things that the Rebbe constantly highlights is the need to get in touch with your neshama. We're going to see that tonight also. And how so often one of the greatest struggles we have in life, you know, I will say it's interesting that you ask people like what they struggle with. And it's interesting, you know, people say different things. Some people, you know, like in a what we'll call like a mitzvah fashion, I struggle with davening. I don't know, I don't relate to davening. I struggle with learning. I struggle with chesed. I struggle with tzedakah. On the negative, I struggle with shmiras ha'inayim, watching what I look at. I struggle with all kinds of things. The Piagetzna says, those are details. At the end of the day, what we often struggle with most is being in touch with our neshama. That's the greatest challenge. The greatest challenge is I'm not connected to me. It's not that I'm not connected to davening. It's not that I'm not connected to learning. I'm not connected to me. I'm not connected to my neshama. And if I'm not connected to my neshama, then by definition, there's obstacles thrown up with everything. And therefore, the Rebbe says one of the most important parts of our avodas Hashem is to try to figure out how to be able to get in touch with our neshama. Our Levi Yitzhak Berdichev. So close again, the Rebbe says something beautiful. He says, this is close to Zohar. Zohar says that if you listen closely enough, you could still hear Hashem saying, Anochi Hashem Elokech an Har Sinai. Right? You know that Hashem himself said the first two Dibros, the first two of the Ten Commandments. And Zohar says, literally, if you listen closely enough, you could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice still in Har Sinai. Now it's interesting, right? Because also scientifically we know that sound really never like ends, it just keeps breaking down into smaller and smaller components. So somehow that sound is there. The Rebbe says, what's the challenge? So I'll use my own lashon, but to take the Rebbe's concept. The Rebbe says, here's the problem. If the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM, and I'm on FM, right? And I'm on FM, as they say, Zelo Ole, like it's not going to work. Like I'm not going to. So the voice is there. I'm tuned into the totally wrong frequency. And the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak says that so often that's our great problem in life. We're all good people. We're all tzaddikim. Ba'amich kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim. The problem just is that sometimes I'm just tuned into the wrong frequency. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to me, right? I will say, how many times do you go through life? If only Hashem could give me a sign. If only Hashem would talk to me. Meanwhile, what is the Boshalom doing in Shemayim? Boshalom is like, hello, right? Is this thing on? Right? Hello, right? Right? Can you hear me now? Is that still a thing? Can you hear me now? What was that, Verizon? No? All right, whatever. Good, right? Can you imagine like the frustration of the Ribono Shel Olam where he's literally screaming to us every single day, trying to give us hadracha, trying to give us chizuk, trying to give us love? I don't hear it. I just don't hear it. So meanwhile, I think God's not talking to me. I think God's not communicating to me with me. And meanwhile, I'm on the wrong frequency. I'm on the wrong frequency. So if I'm living my life on FM and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is broadcasting on AM, then Lamaisa, we just never connect. Is it the other way around? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on FM? Okay. What? He might be on satellite. Okay, whatever. You understand. You know, whatever. Okay. Chevra, don't get caught up in the details over here. You get the mashal. You can modify it however it speaks to you. But so we'll say, so therefore the Piagetzna says that so much of life is getting in touch with the neshama. So we've learned so much about this. And the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, one of the important things to do is to make sure that our neshama defines our reality, not our senses. And I will say this is very hard, right? Because in life, often we define our total reality by our senses, right? Again, what's my reality? What I see, what I hear, what I smell, right? These becomes all of my reality. The Rebbe says, no, that's not your reality. Your senses don't define your reality. Your neshama defines your reality. We'll say, we know this, you could see something in life, lav dafka that it's emes, right? We have this all the time. I see something in life, I'm so sure it's a certain way. I hear something in life, I'm so sure it's a certain way, and it turns out I'm wrong. Because senses could deceive you. Senses could create an alternative reality. Only the neshama knows what's emes. So we'll say, can you imagine, the Kalavai one day will get to this level, but can you imagine one day, being able to just see the world through your neshama. Not seeing the world through your eyes. You know, Rabbi Nachman writes, the Rabbi says, Yaakov, you could come sit down. Yaakov, now that Yaakov has a baby, he comes to every shir. Whatever gets him out of the house. Whatever gets him out of the house. Every single minion, every single shir. It's incredible. It's incredible. He got on the board. He's on every committee. Yaakov Hashem. Mazel tov, Yaakov. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. So we'll say, so Rabbi Nachman writes about this. Rabbi Nachman says, I mentioned this before, the Rebbe says that one of the reasons why we go ahead and we cover our eyes when we say Shema, right? There are additional sheets floating around. There should be, right, if anyone needs. Here. There, so we'll say, so Rabbi Nachman says, why is it that we cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Okay, so the good Litvashe answer is, right, the Misnagdashe answer is, you don't want to be distracted. Rabbi Nachman says so beautifully, Rabbi Nachman explains that sometimes in order to see the world, in order to see life for what it really is, you have to cover your eyes. You see, we think that we see with our eyes. He says, a Yid doesn't see with his eyes. A Yid sees with his heart. And I will say, that's why, by the way, in your most spiritual and uplifting of moments, right? What's happening with your eyes? They're closed. Isn't that fascinating? Right? Isn't that absolutely fascinating? It's almost like a reflexive spiritual response that when you are in the spiritual zone, you close your eyes. Because like instinctively, the neshama knows, no, don't look through the eyes. Don't look through the eyes. Right? But ultimately, again, you look through the neshama. You look through, and I will say, that's why, so I close my eyes during Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad, almost as if it reflects an aspirational wish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to get to the level where I see the best when my eyes are closed. I have the greatest amount of clarity in those moments in my eyes. When I block everything else out and all I see is with my neshama, that's when I really see the world for what it is. That's when I really see myself for what it is, right? A person is zocha to have children and you go in and you give a bracha to your child, right? You close your eyes when you give that bracha. Parents don't keep your eyes open. You get a roll. Why? Because like you give a child a bracha, and like you're seeing anything and everything they are, they can become, they will become, they should become, they may become. All eternity is in front of me when my eyes are open. All I see is what's right in front of me. My eyes are closed, I could see infinity. So the Rebbe said the entire avoda of life is don't define your existence by your senses, but define your reality by your neshama. The Rebbe goes on. He says, "Shelo dai." Second to last line on page base. Shalodai shal yuchlu chushenu lebalba ulefatos esmach shvosinu. Because sometimes our senses could corrupt our thoughts. Right? In other words, I have a machshava, I have a thought, right? In my mind's eye, I have this whole plan. And then my eyes, my senses corrupt it. Now, this can be both in the positive and the negative. You know, we'll say, so sometimes I see something I'm not supposed to see and like, it just upends everything. It just upends everything. And just sometimes, just the way I view the world gets in the way of who I really want to be and what I want to do. V'lomar lanu olam ataroa v'geshem atamargish. And what the senses tell us is what we show you is what's real. If you see it through us, it's real. If you don't perceive it through us, it's not real. Rak gam chushenu, page gimel, flying. Rak gam chushenu, yikanu l'machshefes l'vavenu. Rather, again, what's the goal? The goal is to sublimate the senses to the neshama. Sublimate the senses, better, a little alliteration over here. Sublimate the senses to the soul. Right? So sublimate the senses to the soul. That's the avoda. V'gam heim yiras kiddushas Hashem, prusha kol nimtza. They're about to say, get ready for this. Do you know what happens when you begin to see through your neshama, not through your senses? So people say, let's do a little exercise over here, right? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see?
The rabbi getting
Now you're giving the share. Good. What else do you see? Right? Shechina, all of us, right? Right? What do you see? Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I see. And this is a tremendous, tremendous source of like tension for me, anxiety. I'll tell you what I see. I see marked up walls. I hear chairs moving. I'm like, please, please don't hit the wall with your chair. Please. Please, right? I see bookcases that are brand new, that for some reason, again, I see, and everywhere I look, everywhere I see a sagging table right in front. I see everything. Again, misplaced svarim. Why can't people put back their svarim where they took them from? Again, this is what I see, right? Every single, I look around, I could literally, now again, obviously, it's because it's a shtick of frustration, and obviously, I hope that it would be a little bit, you know, a little okay, but fine. When you see through the senses, often that's what you see. You see what's broken, you see what's wrong, you see what's in a state of disrepair, you see all this stuff. The Rebbe says, let me show you what happens when you see through your neshama. He says, when you see with your soul, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. He says, V'yeda v'yira ha'adam, asher gam ba'olam hazeh, nimtza hu began Eden, began Hashem be'eden, lifnei kisei kvodei yisbarach. See, Abosai, if you look with your eyes, you see a very nice new room with marks on the walls and bookcases and this, that, a nice spread. If you see with your neshama, do you know what you see here? You see Gan Eden. How is this not Gan Eden? How is this not Gan Eden? There's a holy group of Jews together, getting together on Erev Shabbos. Right? It's now nighttime. Now I will say it's officially Erev Shabbos. This is a beautiful Torah now. We're making a L'chaim together. Right? We're together. Everybody's here for what purpose? For what purpose? You're like, I have no idea. Right? Everybody's here for what purpose? I will say, we're literally all here because we are chassidim of the Rebbe of the Piyajetzna and because we want to become chassidim. That's why we're here. But I'll say, this is Kodesh Kadoshim. This is Gan Eden. This is Gan Eden. What holier place in the entire universe is there than right here? But it all depends how you see it. Are you looking at it with your eyes? Are you looking at it with your soul? And I will say, if you take this metric and you apply it to everything in life, right? You look at your marriage, you look at your family, you look at your home, you look at your life situation. If you look with your eyes, you'll see one thing. If you look with your neshama, you look with your soul, you'll see something dramatically different. And the world, everything looks different when you're looking through the neshama. Ubameh, you say, join us.
How do you do it?
Good, that's, remember. So understand what's happening over here. That's the $1 million question. What the Rebbe is doing, and this is what the Rebbe always does in all of his writings, is he maps out a vision. Right, this is, now, let me tell you, how are you feeling right now? How are you feeling?
Good.
Good. What do you want more than anything out of life right now? In this moment?
How to see through.
How to see through the neshama, right? Yeah. So the Rebbe has just been very successful, because what he's just done is he's awakened within us this feeling of, I want this. So now what he's just done is he's awakened within us, I want this. I absolutely want this. Because, oh my gosh, what my life would be like, every area of my life would be like, if I could just see through my soul and not only through my eyes, what everything would be like. So what he's done, he's awakened within us a desire. Okay, now the shaila is, how do I get it? Okay, that's going to take a lot longer. That's going to take a lot longer. But at least now, we'll say, here's the great part. At least now I know what I want. We'll say, sometimes we go through life and we don't even know what we want, right? When we're young, we think we want material success. Then we get material success, and then like, it's nice, but somehow there's still that aching void inside of me. So then I think it's this, then I think it's that. And the truth is, a lot of people leave this world really not even knowing fully what they want or if they even got it. The incredible part is we're all young men. And like, now we understand what I want to be someone who sees life through my neshama. Ubameh. So now Joe, here's your question. Ubameh niske la'avod eshlima kazu. How do I do this? Right? How do I get to this level of avoda? So the Rebbe says as in the mitzars ikvei anavim hamikupalim v'tzadikei achasidus nishaf lahakir tzilach bikvei atzon al kolponim as ikvei kacham nira ubavak darkam darche Hashem nisabek af el kirbeinu nivla. So the first thing is, well, look at great people who came before you. And how did they do it? So Moshe, this is very important. You know, Emirat Hashem, one of the things we're going to be starting up, Emirat Hashem Chodesh Elul, along of the couple of them, we're starting Emirat Hashem, a book club. Now, I know you think to yourself, okay, I'm not like a 70-year-old retiree. This is actually Matt Marks' idea. That's not here tonight, but it's actually a great idea. It's Mamish, every month we're going to read a different biography of a Gadol. It's not Daniel Steele. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like, again, why? Why is it important three biographies of Gidolim? And not like the whitewashed ones, you know, where everybody's like perfect from birth. But like real biographies of Gidolim. Because we'll say, the way to learn in life is to look at people who came before you and did it well. There are people who figured this out. Right? There are people like the Piaget, the Rebbe, figured out how to see life through the Neshama. So the Rebbe says, examine, or literally he says, walk in the footsteps of those who came before you and got it right. Now, obviously, again, we're not going to become the Piagetzna, right? That's not our job. We don't have to become the Piagetzna. But there are elements of the Rebbe's life, and there are elements of the lives of tzaddikim who came before us, who could give us answers and help inform our project or our process and our journey as to how we... That's step one. Step one, I'm both saying, this is very interesting, is in life, identify for yourself a role model, right? Isn't this incredible? Identify for yourself a role model, all right? Who do you want to be like when you grow up? Who do you want to be like? And by the way, in life, a person doesn't have to have one role model, right? I could have a role model in my career, someone who has a good work ethic. It doesn't even have to be a Jewish person, who has a good work ethic, who's honest, who's successful. I want to be like this person in my career. But we also have to have like a ruchnius role model. Right, who is my role model in Ruch, like the person I want to be like when I grow up? Or multiple role models in life. The Rebbe says, okay, identify that person. And then figure out what steps did that person take to get them where they currently are. So now, okay, now I have a process. I don't have to start from scratch. Someone's done this already and done it successfully. Follow in their footsteps. So step one is find the role model. Find the role model, figure out the steps that he or she took in order to go ahead and bring themselves to a certain level and emulate. Step two, the Rebbe says, is there's got to be a personal process. What is my personal process? Second paragraph, page Gimel. Here we go. Hine, Reishis is Galus. Reishis is beautiful. Mamish beautiful. Reishis is Galus Bigdo Shekel. Haisa Nafsham HaYisraelis. So this is such a beautiful idea. You know, the first manifestation of Kedusha in this world was the Yiddish Neshama, the Jewish soul. Right? The Jewish soul itself is the personification and embodiment of everything that is holy in this world. You know, we're learning, we're going to get into this a little bit. We have a Tanya Chabura on Monday nights. All right, it's been online the last couple of weeks, but we're going to be talking about this idea about the distinction between the Jewish neshama and the neshama of the rest of the world. Everyone has every living thing has a neshama or a nefesh, right? But there's a difference between the neshama of a Jew. There is a fundamental difference. And the neshama of the Jew represents, again, the paradigmatic example of what holiness is in this world. Chilek eloka mima'al asher bekerbam niskal lahem. Why? Because on the neshama is literally, again, a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? This is actually, the Lashon of the Baal HaTanya is very similar. Right? The Baal HaTanya writes that the neshama is chilek eloka mima'al mamish. It is a portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally a portion of Hashem, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish. It's not a metaphor, right? It's not that. It is actual, literal. He goes on, he says, V'az b'nafsham ha'galuya, huchshiru le'hasos merkava le'iskalos ha'gdol v'aniskva sh'azohu lo v'kadsham. And the neshama itself is the platform through which everything happens for me, right? The neshama is the vehicle. So again, remember, we're speaking about the idea of seeing the world through the neshama, seeing life through the neshama. And now again, the neshama itself becomes the very platform through which I experience all Kedusha. I will say, get ready for this next line. This is probably one of the most incredible things you will ever learn in your entire life. The Rebbe says, "Back domas, shar kodesh me'ar chayim vital." Kosher from chayim vital. The Isa sheyesh shenafsho atzma Get ready for this. Now, this statement of Rav Chaim Vital, the Rebbe is going to build it up. But Rav Chaim Vital says like this. He says that essentially, listen to these words, that the neshama itself has the ability to tell a person exactly what they need to do and how they need to do it. What does this mean? So we'll say, we often go through life and we think like, what's our avoda? I need to figure things out. Almost as if like life is this great mystery that I have to figure out. So I have to figure out how to make proper decisions, how to choose a correct derech. And for us, often all of these questions about how do I choose, what do I choose, it's overwhelming and confounding. Rav Chaim Vital says something absolutely amazing. He says, the neshama knows exactly what to do. The neshama knows how to lead me in life. The neshama knows how to inform my decisions. The neshama knows which direction to lead me in. What's the problem? What's the problem? We'll say, what's the great challenge in life? What's the great challenge in life?
Me.
Right? Me. I get in my own way. I get in my own way. So that literally, again, the neshama is saying, stop. You remember we saw this once in Savazeros, that the neshama, put the neshama in the driver's seat. If you let the neshama take over, if you let the neshama be the dominant voice in your life, the neshama will get me exactly where I need to. There's no great mystery. There's no great mystery. There's no great unknown. I just have to stop getting in my own way. And people say, you know, so often we think about this, right? We think about Averis. What's the problem with Averis? What's the problem with Averis? Oh, no one here commits Averis. Right, incredible, wow. The Amech Kulam Tzadikim, incredible. I would say, you know, so often we have a very infantile view of Averis. And we say, so what's wrong with Averis? Oh, it's Onesh. Onesh. You're going to get a patch in Olam Haba or Olam Haza. So Onesh is a serious, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, he says that Chet has two byproducts. Every time you commit an Avera, there's a dual effect. Number one, there's Onesh. There is. There is punishment for every single Avera. Every action has a reaction. And the Gemara says, Kol Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran, Yevatran Me'oi. If you say God overlooks or God forgives, the Gemara says, your intestines should spill out. Okay, you know, that's a loose translation, right? You know what I'm saying? In other words, that if you think that God just overlooks stuff, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. We'll say there's an accounting for every single thing that we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva. But Rabbi Soloveitchik says, every chet has an onesh. But he says, every chet also engenders tumah. Tumah. Right? There's a tumah that's there. Sin creates impurity. So let's say, he says, so like, what is tachlis? Like, what is onesh? I understand. What does it mean that chet engenders tumah? What does that mean? But now I understand. You know what tumah means, Rabbi Soloveitchik? You know what happens when a person is tamei? A person is like removed, right, from the, right, let's say again, when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So when you're Tameh, like you're removed from certain realities. What Tumah does is Tumah blurs your vision. So suddenly, again, I can't see life for what it is. I can't see myself for what I am. I don't even know how to make good decisions. Everything is corrupted. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik says, that Tshuva has two pieces to it also, right? In Tshuva, there's Kapara. Kapara takes care of the Onesh, of the punishment. And there's Tara. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher eschem. There's Tara. Tara takes care of the Tumah. So I was saying, sometimes what we don't realize is that the scariest part of sin is that Avera obstructs the Neshama. It's not about the punishment. It's really not about the punishment. All right, well, there's punishments. There's always punishments for everything. But Tzchit obstructs the Neshama from leading me. It's like a roadblock that I throw up in front of the neshama stand. Suddenly now the neshama can't lead me down the way I want to go. Bose, isn't that overwhelming? Every single time I commit an avera, I'm preventing the neshama from leading me. And says Rav Chaim Vital, the neshama knows where it needs to go. If you just don't get in his way, and better yet, help facilitate the neshama's leadership by engaging in positive spiritual dynamic activity, the neshama will get me exactly where I need to go. I will say, that's why we know this. I will say, if you ever experience like a moment of true spiritual connectedness, right? Think about this for just a moment. I don't know, maybe it's like an Elon Yom Kippur, right? How do you feel after an Elon Yom Kippur? And don't say hungry, right? But how do you feel after an Elon Yom Kippur? How do you feel? energized. I'll tell you, for me, it is the one moment of the year, really, it might be the only, where I feel like I have explicit and complete clarity. Complete clarity. Now, often that clarity doesn't last very long. But why? Why? Because at the end of Yom Kippur, essentially, the guf, the body, is secondary to the soul. The soul's in the driver's seat. That's what Chaim Vital says. When the neshama is leading the charge of my life, there's complete clarity. And it's not clarity because, oh, now I know what I want to do with my life, right? Now I know what I want to do when I grow up. Now I know about a this and that. That's not it. There's just this feeling that I am together in life. This feeling that, like, I've got it under control. This feeling like I have a mahalach, I have a vision. Maybe I can't even articulate it. But somehow, some way, everything makes sense in that moment. This is what Chaim Vital, that's what happens when the neshama is in the driver's seat. Ad kam l'shono HaKadosh. So both say, by the way, to learn an entire sefer just for that is the most incredible thing. We're so often, that's what both say, you know, people... Everybody's looking for inspiration, but here's the great irony. Everyone is looking for inspiration outside of themselves. Outside of themselves, right? We're looking for this short or this clip or this saying or this meme or this, you know, and again, like, almost as if like this suddenly is going to light my soul on fire. So again, I'm looking for inspiration everywhere except where I need to be looking for it. I don't need inspiration externally. I just need to stop getting in my own way. Now, obviously, sometimes external things are good to kind of like light the fire on the inside, but inspiration never comes from outside of you. Inspiration always comes from the inside. It comes from allowing the neshama to be the dominant force in my life. And once that happens, everything falls into place. The Rebbe goes on, he says, I know. This is very beautiful. Sheyesh tzaddik. Well, he started this. Sheyesh tzaddik shelo zocha yosem in asgalas nafshu. You know, we'll say sometimes there are tzaddikim and they don't accomplish. And it's like an interesting thing to say. The one thing they accomplish is hisgalas nafshu. Asgalas nafshu means to reveal their soul. Sometimes all a tzaddik accomplishes is he's in touch with his soul. Lo l'nevuah v'lo l'rach hakodesh. Bless him. Right? Doesn't have prophecy. Not rach hakodesh. V'gamzos madrega v'gamhi tanigeo b'darka l'Hashem. So Bosa, you know, sometimes we think that like the epitome over here, you know, is to get the nevuah, ruach hakodesh. The Rebbe says sometimes all a person accomplishes in this world is to reveal their soul. Is ultimately, again, just to be in touch with who they are internally. And that's enough. And that's enough. Omeat Sabosai. So that's part one over here. Let's finish off with this last piece. This is a major piece, which I think changes the way that we think and also changes the way that we approach averus. You know, say, like, if you think about it for just a moment, like if you were driving somewhere, right? If you had to get to a particular destination and someone told you that, you know, there's a great avera to commit, but it's gonna delay your journey by 4 days, right? I would venture to say most of us wouldn't do it. No matter how big of a bal taiva, right, I am, I'm willing to sin. I'm down for a good sin, right? Right? But la maisa, like, not if it's gonna like derail me 4 days. Like, I'm not getting off the highway and going on a 4 day detour to go ahead and sin. And yet Chaim Vital says, but that's like what we do every single day. I commit an avera, I throw up all these roadblocks in front of the neshama. And then Rabbi says, I derailed the neshama. So now we were going on a particular direction. Now I totally hijacked the journey. And now, like, we're totally off course. How long will it take me to get back on course? 4 days. I don't know. It could be 1 day, it could be 4 days, it could be 4 years, it could be a decade. I don't know. Everything depends on how intense the avera is, right? And everything depends on how long that is sustained, that avera. There's so many, but again, like, it's so interesting. No matter how big of a bal taiva I am, I'm not going on a 4 day detour to commit an avera. Yet I do this every single day by detouring my life, literally detouring my life for the satisfaction of some desire, want, lust, or proclivity. It's overwhelming. Now the Rebbe says, Umeata, let's finish up with this. Umeata, Habachar va'avrechan nisra b'chol prate v'dikduke dinim shebetorah, shebesar shababah. So Rebbe says, now, okay, so that's tachlis, right? How do we begin to plug in this stuff, right? So now I know, ultimately, again, the Rebbe says, my goal is I need to be soul dominant. I need to sublimate senses to the soul. I need to allow my soul to be in the driver's seat of my life. How do I begin to do this? And of course, we know already, there's not going to be one answer. So how do I begin? Because Rebbe says, so now, remember again, this, say, this sefer is called Hacharas HaAvreichim. So who is the Rebbe talking to in this sefer? Who's the target population? An Avreich. What's an Avreich? What's an Avreich? A young man, right? Whereas Chovas HaTalmidim was talking to students, Hacharas HaAvreichim was talking to young men. What's the definition of a young man? We're all young men, right? We're all young men. So it's talking to us. So now the Rebbe says like this. He says, now, Abachar, Avreich, so what the Rebbe says, I'm assuming over here that I'm talking to a population who are careful with Torah. They're careful with Torah, careful with mitzvahs, careful with details, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, v'gam b'chom in hagei kodesh al Yisrael. And again, someone who is careful with minhagim, with minhagim. So what say, so again, I want to point out, the Rebbe is not suggesting over here that this sefer is written for a population who are perfect. What he's saying is he's talking to a population who are medaktik, right? They're nizhar. What does nizhar mean? What does nizhar mean? Right, like zihirus, alacrity. No, not alacrity. That's rizus. Vigilance. They're vigilant, right? They're vigilant. They're careful. Careful doesn't mean I always get it right. Careful doesn't mean I always do everything correctly. Careful just means what the Rebbe said. What does careful mean? What does careful mean?
I care.
So the Rebbe says, let's presuppose that if we're learning the Sefer together, we care about halacha. We care about Torah Shebichsav. We care about Torah Shebaal Peh. We call the care about Deraisas. We care about Derabbanans. We care about Minhagim. We care. Okay. He says furthermore, but with all that, it's not enough for me. What do I want? We come back full circle. Umishtokek all this, kashalios chassid. What do I want? I want to be a chassid. Right?
Alacrity was right.
Alacrity was right? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Shkoyach. I'd rather you not be on your phone during cheer, but whatever, you know, it's good. Thank you. So now listen to this. It's incredible. So after all of this, right, after all of this vigilance and alacrity and zehiros and carefulness with everything else, I want more. What do I want? We'll say, it's what I've always wanted. Even before I knew that I wanted it, I wanted it. From the time that I was a child, before I even knew the word, I want to be a chassid. I want to be a chassid. So Rebbe says, step one. Tzarech lasos olif nimishras hadin. Rebbe says, step one in being a chassid is you are willing to not simply live up to expectations. You are devoting yourself to surpassing expectations. Step one in becoming a chassid is I am willing to commit myself to surpassing expectations. I will not only do that which God asks and demands of me, I'm going to go beyond. Now, by the way, if this sounds familiar, this is exactly how the Ramchal in the Silas Yisharim defines Chassidus as well. He says that tzaddik is someone who lives up to expectations. A chassid is someone who exceeds expectations. I will say, incredible. If you want to be a chassid, you have to be willing to go above and beyond that which is expected of you. So, lastly, if the Mishra said then, for lo, Basios Kufalabadu Yosef Lavoris Avodo. Asavados of all Sakoshafnimishras Adin. Aflobomochovitulabado, Rak Gaminafsho. And I will say, what does it mean to exceed expectations? There's exceeding expectations behaviorally. I will say, this here it is. You want to know what it takes to be a chassid. Here's step one. I will say, and this is really hard, because a lot of us, we're so proud of ourselves just when we meet expectations, right? Like, I'm davening, right? Shkoyach, you know, like I'm learning. Shkoyach. Again, I will say,
That could be exceeding expectations for where you are.
No, we don't give ourselves a pass like that over here. Wrong shear. Right, no, correct. Obviously, it's relative. You know, but I just want to point out that sometimes you have like a little bit of like a skewed view, and we're so proud of ourselves when like we're meeting expectations. And in all seriousness, we should be proud with ourselves when we're meeting expectations. It is, because the truth is, even to meet the expectations of Yiddishkeit, it's hard. I'll say, let's be honest, right? Davening every single day, three times a day is hard. Davening with a minyan, which is an obligation, is hard, right? It's hard. Learning Torah every single day, which isn't just like, not like something nice that you talk about during your shidduch dating, you know? But it's actually an expectation, right? It is actually something that a yid has to do. How much? Well, okay, that's, but like, The expectations, right? The expectations that are upon us are significant. They really are. And again, living up to those expectations is incredible in and of itself. But the chassid exceeds. The chassid exceeds. The chassid says, no. I'm not coming in at expectations. I'm going to exceed expectations. That's Shabbos. So now we're beginning to get a definition. So the chassid is someone ultimately, again, and the Rebbe points out over here, it's not just exceeding expectations behaviorally, it's exceeding expectations with your neshama. Now, we have absolutely no idea what that line means. That's going to have to come in our next year. But I will say, but now we have the beginning workings of what it means to be a chassid. Step number one, says the Rebbe, is sublimate the senses to the soul. Don't perceive the world through your senses, perceive the world through your soul. Number two, Rav Chaim Vital, allow your neshama to be in the driver's seat. And number three, don't simply live up to expectations, exceed spiritual expectations. And I think, by the way, those two last two are really connected. Because how do you put the neshama in the driver's seat of your life? How do you allow the neshama to be the dominant voice that leads you? Exceed expectations. They will say, you know, it's true, by the way, in every relationship. Think about this just a moment. They will say, let me think about this in marriage. Right? In marriage, you could live up to expectations, or you could exceed expectations. What's the difference between living up to expectations and exceeding expectations? What's the chiluk in marriage? What's the chiluk?
Happy life.
Right? You could even have a happy life, even just meeting expectations, right? People, right? But I will say, but again, do you want something good or you want something excellent? Again, it's everything, right? In your career, there are plenty of people who are clock punchers, right? What do? They go into work. They're on time. They leave on time. They do exactly what's expected of them and not one stitch more of work, right? And again, what's incredible? The truth is they're still better than like 99% of people, right? Because at least they're meeting expectations. So what's the chilik between mediocre people and successful people? Clock punchers generally remain. They hover at a level of mediocrity. Successful people are always looking to exceed expectations. Last month was good. The goal is not to replicate that. How does next month becoming? What can we do to make it even better? Right? Last year's earnings were great. Again, you plug this into everything. In Ruchnius, good Jew lives up to expectations. Chassid exceeds expectations. Behaviorally, cognitively, spiritually. How to do that? Behaviorally, we understand. How to do a spiritual bosai? Emir Hashem, next year we'll stop here for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. Myriv, what should we do? Myriv in the base medrash. Myriv in the base medrash. Amid Yomi starts here where? With Reb Chaim in 10 minutes. Yeah, we'll say also, if we get everyone's help cleaning up the table, it'll be fantastic. Shkoyach, everyone.